Welcome to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast, where we ask today's most successful experts and entrepreneurs to share the most powerful lead generation and appointment setting tactics they use to build their business and grow their revenues. Now your host from the city that never sleeps, New York, is Kwesi Sachijinai.
All right, everyone, thanks so much for joining the conversation today. This is Kwesi Sachijinai, and my guest today is Brendan Bruce. Brendan is the co-founder of Serious Insights. Brendan grew up in a tiny town in California where they had 800 people, and he actually had one classmate. So that was actually exciting talking about this before the call. And he grew up from these humble beginnings to co-found and growing Serious Insights, which now makes over $12 million in revenue. It's number 41 on Inc. 5000 list. Of course, after a lot of different setbacks, I'm really excited about this conversation because Brendan has seen a lot of different scenarios when it comes to sales for the past couple of years. And I'm really pumped for this. But before we do that, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge one of the partners we have for today's episode. It's AGM. AGM is a B2B agency that helps you scale your business using LinkedIn. They have LinkedIn training, LinkedIn lead generation, LinkedIn recruiting, LinkedIn advertising, and so many more. They've been featured on the BBC, Entrepreneur, Huffington Post, and right now, LinkedIn, AGM is offering all the listeners we have a free LinkedIn audit. So you just have to go to abrahamglobal.com to reserve your session. The link again is abrahamglobal.com. All right, Brendan, thanks so much for joining the conversation today.
Thanks, Kwesi. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I followed the journey a little bit with your team. And I know that currently you're actually pivoting for the first time in a couple of years because you lost the primary marketing channel on Salesforce AppExchange. And I want us to get into some of the tactics, what you've noticed hasn't been working for the past couple of years. But before we do that, I remember when the predictable revenue methodology came out, it was a huge success. Everyone was using it. Now, if you take a snapshot of sales and revenue related activities over the past, say, 3 years or 5 years, what have you found to be some of the biggest changes?
I mean, it's interesting you mentioned the predictable revenue model, because we've certainly been followers and in large part evangelists for that, because much of it has worked for us. One of the areas that I think we've had the most success with is really focusing on the appointment, right? So there's a lot of metrics out there, and it can be, kind of dangerous to fall in love with certain metrics that aren't necessarily correlated with the metrics that you really care about, like revenue and conversion rate, et cetera. So, one of the metrics that we track the most, even more than, email opens and link clicks and so forth, is the conversion from marketing activities to a scheduled appointment. And so one of our most effective strategies or tactics, if you will, is to make it very easy for prospects and customers to book time with us. To the point that some people have said, do you really want to make it that easy for customers just to grab time on your calendar? Like, what if they just want to talk? Or, what if it's a customer that's really not that interested? They're just doing research. Uh-huh. And it's like, well, we've just been biased toward having all of those conversations. And I think the net benefit has far exceeded any cost to us, right? So we're spending time, that's our investment. But if the prospect and customer is willing to spend their time, which most people don't want to waste their own time, then we meet in the middle. So, in the emails that we send out, on our web pages, we're always using our own software, Serious Insights, which has a really robust scheduling engine in it, to share our availability inside of emails, share our calendar links on the web so that people can find the time that they want to meet with us. And then it automatically schedules those appointments. So from a predictable revenue funnel standpoint, that's the area where our team really focuses. Because without that conversation, we still see pretty high conversion rates on what we'll call self-service customers, right? So smaller organizations that just, hey, we really like the software, we'll put a credit card in and make a purchase. But for everybody else above that, for those purchases above the amount that folks will normally put on a credit card as you get into the several thousand dollars, then having that conversation is vital so that we understand what are they trying to accomplish? How can our software help them get there? We show them the demo. we go through their workflow and their processes and really understand how they utilize Salesforce and what they're trying to do for their sales and marketing and support teams. And if there's a fit, then that conversation inevitably leads toward, you know, the next stage in the sales pipeline. So that's the area that I think we've focused the most on, and where we essentially where we win or lose is at that point at which, hey, we'd like to have a conversation. If the prospect's willing, then that's trending the right direction. If they're not, then it may not come our way.
I love it. I want us to stay with, you know, the appointment kind of scheduling for a second. So how do you pre-qualify them so that, you know, not everyone can actually book a meeting with you? I know you're very open with, you know, your calendar and so on, but do you have a system of kind of sieving out people who are not meeting a certain criteria that you have internally?
What's interesting is for, and I know a lot of companies do that, and we've tried that in various ways, right? Putting up a gate, so a form, you know, tell us about you first, and then after that, we'll let you schedule the time, or we'll get in touch with you in order to schedule the time. And I think we still have some pages up that do that. So there's lots of different ways that you can get an appointment with us. But I feel like we've had the most success when there is no friction in the appointment. So if the customer gets to that point, and a lot of the research has indicated that customers have done their homework, you know, so they're already a third to two-thirds of the way through the quote-unquote decision-making process. Mm-hmm. So at the point at which they're reaching out, they've already done a lot of their own pre-qualification. So if they're willing to spend their time, it means I've already been on the website, I've already read some of your web pages, I've already been looking at the competitive landscape, I've already thought about the ways I might want to use your software. I have a few questions, though. I want to talk about pricing. I want to understand how some of the technology works. Our organization needs to do a security review or a legal review or you know, some other risk assessment or GDPR compliance now. And so they want to have a call. And so for most of the appointments that we set, there is no pre-qualification on our side except to say the customer has raised their hand and said they want to meet. So our calendars are embedded in our website. You just go and grab time there. Or when we send emails, whether they're automated marketing emails from Pardot, or if they're direct emails from salespeople to prospects, those emails contain links to the salespeople's calendars, and the customer can just choose a time that's convenient for them, and it automatically shows up on our calendar, and it shows up on the prospect calendar, and we show up and meet.
Right. Actually, very closely related to the metric of appointment is appointment completed, right? So you have appointment scheduled and you have appointment completed. And I know that for a lot of sales teams, no-shows is sort of a big bug. It's like it's killing a lot of the pipeline that they have. We've seen, and I do have a lot of conversations with a lot of sales leaders, I think that on the average, it's around the 25-1 ratio. So 20 appointments, 5 of them will be qualified. And this would really vary depending on the industry. I'm curious to know what you guys have seen and how do you actually reduce no-shows?
So I do think one of the things that helps to reduce no-shows is if the prospect has scheduled the meeting themselves. So if we or a party on our behalf is scheduling the appointment and really kind of advancing the agenda, right? Hey, what day is available? What about 2 o'clock on this day? What about 3 o'clock the following day? Then we're really kind of trying to say this is when we'd like to do it, and the prospect's trying to decide if that will in fact fit their schedule. If the prospect is saying this is when I want to meet, then we feel like they've really dictated the schedule and they've said they want to meet. So the likelihood of them showing up to that meeting, in our experience, goes up. Are there still no-shows? Absolutely, because life happens, right? So they want to talk to us about us being a vendor for them. Meanwhile, one of their customers calls. Well, they're going to take that call because we all do that. And so they get indisposed. We try to follow up, right? Because we want that appointment. We want that meeting. And they said they wanted it in the first place. So unless something has fundamentally changed where they just decided to actually know, right? We can't entertain this conversation. We can't move forward because we don't have budget anymore, or we just got acquired, or whatever the case may be. Okay. But otherwise, you know, we provide them lots of opportunities to reschedule it. And we also try to affirmatively reach out by email, by phone to reschedule that appointment. I will say too, though, for us on the pre-qualification front, you know, one of the things about Cirrus Insight, it's horizontal, right? So we serve customers in every industry I can imagine, of every size. So from, you know, one user organizations up to, you know, organizations that have 10,000 plus users, and really in any geography. So obviously we have a lot of customers in the United States, in Canada, so we canvass North America, but we also have a lot of customers in Europe, in Australia, et cetera. So from that perspective, we're not really qualifying like, hey, if you're within this jurisdiction, if you're within the Southeast or the West or the Northwest, we can serve you. We're pretty geographically agnostic in the same way. We're also industry agnostic. So we're not saying, well, only if you're nonprofit or only if you're in manufacturing or technology or higher ed, can we work with you? We're saying we work with customers on all of those areas. And you don't need to be a minimum or a maximum size. We're not saying, hey, we're only mid-market. So you might be too big, you might be too small. It's a big tent. So we're saying anybody of any size can come in and, you know, we'll have a demo with anybody. Now, internally, we have workflow that says, hey, if a customer looks like this, meaning they're from this geography, they're of this size, they're in this industry, then we try on our side to pair them with the right salesperson that has experience in that area, industry, size of customer. Because that's good for us. And it's also good for the customer. We come in with some expertise. So to the extent that we can, we try to do that on our side, but we leave it open for pretty much anybody to come in the door.
Gotcha. This is really good. What do you feel are some of the changes you've seen, and what are some of the strategies you're exploring right now as far as those changes are concerned, in order to help your team stand out?
I think one of the things, and I have a feeling that this is popular among other companies as well, is we're really having substantial success doing outreach on LinkedIn. Obviously, we're a company that makes an application that lives in the inbox. So we're heavily email centric, and it's great when folks will engage with us by email, because when they click on that email, they're installing our app into their inbox, and that's where they use it. We bring Salesforce into Gmail and Outlook. So it's all very relevant, and that conversation happens in the inbox and in the calendar. What we're finding, though, and especially over the last year or so, a lot of the conversations that we're starting are happening in a channel that's not email or the calendar. So they're starting in person at conferences, trade shows, meetups, user groups, or they're happening on a social channel, primarily LinkedIn. And that's where the relationship starts, right? So we're saying, hey, how are you learning about the business? We've done some research. We're following folks. We're liking the good stuff, the good content that they're posting. They're reciprocating. We start a conversation that may not be about their product or our product at all, but it's very much just getting to know people as people, and then transitioning that to, hey, while we're at it, we'd love to see what you have to offer. That's really interesting. Here's what we have to offer. Shall we take this conversation to email? Shall we schedule an appointment? And that's where it moves then into the inbox and the calendar, which is a necessary step for our software. So we're not selling something that can be bought and sold within LinkedIn as a platform or at a trade show, at a booth. It's not a physical product we can trade over the counter. So it's cloud software. So we want them to be online, on the web, in the inbox, in the calendar, where many of us work. Once we're having conversations with customers, of all the hundreds of sales floors that we've been on since we started the company 7 years ago, when we walk around, and this is still true today, invariably, the vast, vast majority of people that are working are looking either at their inbox or at their calendar, because that's where customer communications are happening. What we're seeing on the prospecting side, though, is a lot of the initial conversations are happening in person and on LinkedIn, because sometimes you can kind of break through a lot of the outreach, a lot of the cold clutter by forging relationships there and then transitioning the warm relationship to the inbox and calendar to actually schedule the appointment.
And I want to put you on the spot here. How big is cold calling as far as your sales strategy is concerned?
We have done calling in the past. We're not doing it today, which is not to say we don't call people. We're just not doing it en masse. We're not doing it in bulk in terms of, we don't have a call center and we don't hire out to a call center to make tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of calls down a prospect list. Mm-hmm. That's not something we're doing. Is that because it just doesn't work full stop? Not necessarily. Did it have the highest conversion rate of all of the strategies we've tried? It did not. So it was something that we moved away from to move into other strategies that were working better for us. I know though, and I have friends that work in companies where that's an extremely successful strategy, right? And they've got it down to kind of a predictable revenue science, if you will, where they know, hey, for our business, it takes 30 calls per each number. So we don't give up after 7 or 8, which is the industry norm. We do 30 calls and that's where our max point is. And that's what nets us the best results. And that's where their conversions happen. That's awesome. For us, we're not doing that. So if we have a target, it's more account-based marketing, if you will, to use a buzzword of the day. But if we've got particular people or particular accounts that we're really interested in meeting, then are we going to call them? Yes. We're just not doing it in a machine way.
Gotcha. And I feel, you know, it really varies from industry to industry because we do help a lot of businesses as well. And sometimes email works a lot better. Sometimes it's LinkedIn. Sometimes it's calling. So I feel that for some of the business leaders and Sylvia is listening, you just need to test and see which channel is working for you. And you don't even have to be, say, channel agnostic. I think one of the best ways is to be channel agnostic, find the one which is working and reiterate over time. And I feel that's how you actually get to improve the result. But Brendan, the final thing I wanted to ask you. So I know that as culture changes, as a lot of changes within your team, a key part is, you know, the learning process, testing and improving. How do you build a culture that, you know, encourages this sort of mentality within your team?
I mean, the big word that I constantly come back to is a culture of curiosity. You know, the word curiosity and the act of being curious is an antidote to the things that we don't want, right? So we want to avoid burnout. Burnout is when you're not interested in something anymore. You're overwhelmed, you're out of energy. Being curious is the opposite. Curiosity means there's an eagerness to see what happens next. You know, you want to know how something works, so you're willing to dig into it. You're willing to, you know, meet the customer halfway. So it's the curious attitude and energy that we're looking for, and that's broad enough to be applicable to everyone across the whole team. So we want curious engineers that really want to figure out how do we solve this thorny technical challenge. And we want curious customer support reps that will go the extra mile with the customer because they really want to find out what the heck's going on with this customer and how can we get things to work just the right way for them or figure out what is it, in fact, the customer is asking. Like, we're not understanding where they are, and so let's dig in and find out. Certainly, you want curious salespeople because they need to be willing to find out the specific needs of each customer versus, you know, selling a cookie cutter and saying, hey, yeah, this is what we do, full stop. And if you want it, you can buy it. And if you don't, you don't. You know, the world has plenty of competition now. So that's not a winning strategy. We want to be curious about what makes them tick. What goals are they trying to achieve for their company? What goals are they trying to achieve for themselves, right? If they're sales operations manager or director of sales enablement or sales effectiveness, you know, what are they charged with? How are they measured? Is it by increasing sales? Is it by saving the time of their team? And with more time, sales are going to naturally gravitate up because the team can focus more on doing what they do best, which is selling. Those are things we want the sales team to be curious about. And from a marketing perspective, we always want to be curious about the go-to-market. I mean, to your point before, I think there's certainly a benefit in testing a lot of different channels, choosing winners and investing your time, energy, and money into the channels that are working. At the same time, it's pretty helpful to stay curious during that process because a channel can close. I always think about the old ways of getting goods to market where it's like, well, we can go over land. We could take the barge down the river. We could hire a team of oxen or horses. Like, these are all options. But if you get too wedded to one and just say, well, we're always going to take the barge down the river, and then there's a flood, you could be in a tough spot. You have no alternatives. All your goods are going to spoil. But if you've meanwhile been curious enough to like, well, what if it flooded? I wonder if we should always have a team of horses ready to go. This is kind of a tortured analogy, obviously. But it's useful for the team to stay Yeah, to stay curious so that we don't get complacent. We don't get used to the same way of doing business, because invariably the market's going to change, customer needs and demand is going to change, and we have to be ready to adapt to it.
Fascinating. Where can people learn more about your work and use your platform and connect with you personally?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're Cirrus Insight, Cirrus like the high wispy clouds. So cirrusinsight.com. We have a free trial of our application for Gmail and Outlook. So it has a lot of productivity tools in it, like email tracking and templates and follow-up reminders. And of course, the appointment scheduling engine that we talked about before. And then we're really famous for really, really deep and robust integration with the Salesforce platform for those that use Salesforce as their CRM. I am at brandon@cirrusinsight.com is my email. Obviously, we're an email-centric company, so I'm easy to reach by email. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, so feel free to send me a message on LinkedIn as well. And if anybody's listening that is in Knoxville or has plans to come through Knoxville on Interstate 40 or 75, and they want to swing by the office and grab lunch with us or play a game of ping pong, we would be happy to host.
Fun times. Awesome. Thanks so much, Brandon.
Thanks, Cressy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast with Cressy Sachidinai. Find out more about how to get high-value appointments at catalyze.io. And while you're there, check out the free resources for appointment setting. And be listening for the next episode of the Art of Appointment Setting podcast.